Sunday, February 23rd, the seventh Sunday in Ordinary Time. First reading from 1 Samuel 26, verses 2, 7 through 9, 12 and 13, 22 and 23. In those days, Saul went down to the desert of Ziph with 3,000 picked men of Israel to search for David in the desert of Ziph. So David and Abishai went among Saul's soldiers by night, and found Saul lying asleep within the barricade, with his spear thrust into the ground at his head, and Abner and his men sleeping around him. Abishai whispered to David, "God has delivered your enemy into your grasp this day. Let me nail him to the ground with one thrust of the spear. I will not need a second thrust." But David said to Abishai, "Do not harm him, for who can lay hands on the Lord's anointed and remain unpunished?" So David took the spear and the water jug from their place at Saul's head, and they got away without anyone seeing or knowing or awakening. All remained asleep, because the Lord had put them into a deep slumber. Going across to an opposite slope, David stood on a remote hilltop at a great distance from Abner, son of Ner, and the troops. He said, "Here is the king's spear. Let an attendant come over to get it. The Lord will reward each man for his justice and faithfulness. Today, though the Lord delivered you into my grasp, I would not harm the Lord's anointed." Haydock Commentary. Saul was still his king, no matter how wicked he was, and this title rendered his person inviolable. Eastern nations are very seldom guilty of rebellion or of murdering their kings, a thing of which we find so many examples in the Roman, English, and French histories. A private man could not lay violent hands upon the king without a crime, and therefore David represses Abishai and commits his cause to God. He will not permit anyone to destroy the life of the king, though he was already anointed to succeed him. It is not necessary to have recourse to a miracle, though it must have been by a special providence that all continued in such a deep sleep, to give David an opportunity of manifesting his innocence. The second reading, from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 15, verses 45 through 49. Brothers and sisters, it is written, "The first man, Adam, became a living being, the last Adam, a life-giving spirit. But the spiritual was not first, rather the natural and then the spiritual. The first man was from the earth, earthly, the second man from heaven. As was the earthly one, so also are the earthly, and as is the heavenly one, so also are the heavenly. Just as we have borne the image of the earthly one, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly one." Haydock Commentary. The first Adam was made of clay, and with such a body as could die, but the second man, Christ, was from heaven. Not that he took a body from heaven, as some ancient heretics pretended, but he was heavenly not only because he was the Son of God, but in this place he seems to be called heavenly even as to his body after his resurrection, since his body was then spiritual and immortal. As the first man Adam was earthly by his earthly and mortal body, so were we and all his posterity earthly. But such as the heavenly man Christ was heavenly and rose with a heavenly immortal body, so shall all those be heavenly to whom he shall give a spiritual, a heavenly, and an immortal body at their happy resurrection. As we have borne the image of the earthly man, that is, have been made mortal, and also by sin subject to the corrupt inclinations of this mortal body, so let us bear also the image of the heavenly one, by a new life imitating Christ, by which means we shall be glorified with him, both as to soul and body. The Gospel from Luke chapter 6, verses 27 through 38. Jesus said to his disciples, "To you who hear, I say, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. To the person who strikes you on one cheek, offer the other one as well. And from the person who takes your cloak, do not withhold even your tunic. Give to everyone who asks of you, and from the one who takes what is yours, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. For if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do the same. If you lend money to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners and get back the same amount. But rather, love your enemies and do good to them, and lend expecting nothing back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, for he himself is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. Stop judging and you will not be judged. Stop condemning and you will not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Give, and gifts will be given to you. A good measure, packed together, shaken down, and overflowing will be poured into your lap. For the measure with which you measure will in return be measured out to you." Haydock Commentary. Jesus Christ does not order us never to refuse a petition, but the meaning of his words is that we are to give what is just and reasonable, what will be neither injurious to yourself nor your family. For what is unjustly asked may be justly denied, says St. Augustine. But in this manner, the sin we commit is often far from trivial, particularly when to the refusal of a just request we add also reprehensions and complaints. For we say, why does he not work? Why has he reduced himself to penury through his own indolence? But tell me, do you live upon the fruits of your own industry? Or on the supposition that you do, is it that you may have some plea to reprehend another for the morsel of bread he begs at your hands? You give him no charitable relief, give him then no contumelious words. If you have no compassion for him yourself, do not prevent others from showing him commiseration. Abraham, in the number of guests he received, had the honor of receiving under his roof even angels. Let us not, therefore, be strict and unfavorable judges in regard of our suffering and distressed neighbors, lest perhaps we ourselves come to be more severely judged. We should lend, expecting nothing back, merely impelled by a desire of doing good. They who only give when sure of having a greater return do not give, but traffic with their generosity, in which there is no charity. Stop judging and you will not be judged, stop condemning and you will not be condemned. What can be imagined more kind, what more merciful, than this conduct of our Sovereign Lord, that the sentence of the judge should be left in the hands of the person to be judged?